You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
They're actually bringing Jesus into a dark place in their schools and into their friendships as well. And so, love you guys. So proud of you. Let's get into it. Well, I want to bring you back a little bit to 2021. Anyone remember 2021? February, January time. If you were living in Perth, you were living luxury, you're probably locked down in WA, so you got to do whatever you want, really. I was living in England, Norwich, for any of the EPL fans or championship fans or soccer fans. I'm a Canary fan. I'm a yellow and gold fan. And we say, yeah, there's my wife. That's my wife, the only Norwich in the house. She's good. But it was a hectic time for us because we were locked down. England was locked down for nearly over probably a year and a half. We were isolating, I would say, but we weren't. We definitely weren't. We were out. We were in the sticks. So we were having fun in the potato farms, chucking potatoes, you know, doing those things. I was newly married to my wife. We were probably like 6 months married, 2021, September the 12th is coming up, 5 years. So, hey, presents are allowed. That's what I like. And at the time as well, I was going through a stage that my visa was running out of in England. And so I was on a working visa, only lasts for 2 years. And so this was coming up, had a month left to apply. And so that's what we did. We chose to stay in England and actually apply to stay in England, I should say. And that cost a lot of money, $7,000 to $8,000, I believe it cost me. And especially at the time as well, putting pressure on our plate, my wife actually got diagnosed with an eating disorder called anorexia. And so I'm pretty sure everyone knows about that. And it's hectic. And so put it into perspective, we were newly married, trying to figure out marriage. Visa was coming up. We just applied for a spousal visa. And then my wife gets diagnosed with a mental health condition. And so it's crazy. This is crazy. And then fast forward a little bit, a few months to June, right? I get an email from the UK government saying, "G'day, mate. Your visa has been denied. You've got 30 days to get out of the country. If you don't get out, you're going to be banned for 2 years to come to England." And so pressure all on the shoulders is that, yeah, I'm going through all this stuff. My wife's going through all this stuff. And now visa is denied. We've got 30 days to actually leave the country. Crazy. And I remember my in-laws were just sitting in a cafe with us, and we were just spilling the beans and saying, "This is too hard. We've been doing so much on our strength, our wisdom, our knowledge, but it ain't working." And I remember as well trying to book flights out. It was getting cancelled. Everything we booked, I think we booked three times, and they got cancelled at the time. And if you were trying to fly during that time, it is a rare case for people to know is that some seats, and we considered it to actually get out of the country for $20,000 per seat. It was crazy. It was crazy. We considered it, but obviously we did not have $40,000 to spend on flights, just a one way. And so, yeah, pressure was on trying to get out of the country, but also having all this stuff in the background with mental health and just being working out marriage in general. And I remember my mother-in-law actually stopping us and saying, "Eli, why don't we try a little different way? Why don't we try something different and actually put everything aside and actually trust in God? Let's not worry and actually pray. Put God first." And so that's what I want to talk about today. This is what I want to talk. I want to talk about putting God first. Because when my mother-in-law actually changed my perspective on things and I put God first, I kid you not, the next day I get a email from the government of Australia saying, "We're sending a whole bunch of Qantas planes to England to rescue all the Australian citizens and their partners and bring them back." I felt like I was in a war movie, you know, going to war and then coming back. And so this was cool, and we didn't pay $20,000 for it, so it was great. And so, yeah, it was just the perspective of just pushing things aside and putting God first for God to actually move. And so that's what I want to talk about. So if you've got your Bibles, bring them out, got your notepads, your highlighters, or the church app, the church notes. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19, and we're going to go from chapter 16, verse 19. A bit of context to go with this is that Paul is on his second missions trip with Silas, and he meets this guy called Timothy, and they're hopping around place to place, and they end up resting in a place called Troas. So Troas, and then at the time Paul was resting, he slept and then had a vision of a Macedonian guy come up to him. And if you've met a Macedonian person, they're vicious guys, personally from my experience. And so, yes, gets this guy in his vision, come up to him and says, and actually gets on his knees and begs Paul to come over to Macedonia and to help them. And so Paul actually woke up, was praying to God, and obviously actually thought that, this is God calling us to go. And so what he does, he tells the lads, we're going overseas, we're going to Macedonia, and we're going, all right? I wish that was easy on a lads trip, telling everyone to come, hey, lads, we're going golfing, all right? I wish it was that easy. But yeah, that's what Paul did. They went overseas, they went to Macedonia, went to a couple of places, and they landed at a place called Philippi. Philippi is was a Roman colony governed by the Roman law. And one morning, Paul and his crew go out into the city gates towards a river to a place of prayer, where he bumped into a slave lady that did fortune telling. And this lady would tell everyone that Paul and the crew, Paul, Silas and Timothy and everyone else, are servants of the Most High who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept doing this day in, day out. So a couple of days, they kept on this just repeatedly. And Paul, as a normal Christian, would get annoyed, all right, with someone yelling in their ear. And he would do a normal thing that a Christian would do, you know, cast out demons, you know? No. But this is what he did. He actually told the woman, in the name of Jesus, a spirit come out. And the spirit did come out of her. And so this is where it lands into verse 19. So if you read with me, verse 19. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar. By their advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, modern day probably maximum security, and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Verse 29, the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his household. At the hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his household and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his household. So let's pray and we'll get straight into the text. Father, we thank you. We love you so much, Father. Father, will you bring clarity to this text? Will you open our hearts to receive what you got to say, Father? Will you help me to speak clearly? And Father, convict us. Transform us, change us, Father. How we came in, Father, will we be different when we come out? In Jesus' name, every believer says, amen. Amen. So I want to take you and have a look in this text of three different perspectives. And the three different perspectives is the perspective of Silas and Paul, which we kind of see the opportunity of putting God first. And the second perspective is the perspective of the prisoner that we see in this text, which is the influence that we see of putting God first. And the third perspective would be the jailer, which we see the fruits of putting God first, the miracles of putting God first. So let's have a look at the first perspective, where Paul and Silas, and we see the opportunity of putting God first. So if you want to look at verse 22 to 25, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cells and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So let's stop there. Did you see in the text the opportunity Paul and Silas had? They were beaten, severely flogged, thrown into jails, chained up. So they had all right to complain, all right to actually give into the situation and just allow fear and allow worry and allow their situation to take over. But the opportunity they took was to put God first by singing, by praising Him, by praying to Him, no matter the circumstances, no matter issue they were going through. By praying and singing and putting God first. And Proverbs 3:6 says this, "In all ways, in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." So in other words, in everything that we do, let's put God first, for He will direct. He will allow us to walk our way into our purpose, direct our path. Also, the psalmist says in Psalms 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and our strength, and very present help in trouble. God is our source of our peace and strength in everything." So as we submit to Him, as we commit to Him today, He is that He provides our strength. He is the one that provides our peace in all things, in all our needs, in time of need. So I wonder, Sun Life, what this might look for you today, putting God first in situations, in good, in bad, maybe stressful times when you're worrying, maybe family times, we just stop and we pray. We stop and read the word. Maybe during university, maybe going out and preaching the gospel. Sometimes we need courage. Sometimes we think we can do it in our own strength and we get worried. And maybe just stopping and actually praying to God and actually asking for His strength. Maybe year 12s, choosing universities this year is crazy. Puts a lot of pressure. It's just stopping and actually allowing God to take a hold of that situation. Family dramas. Never heard of someone stopping during an argument and saying, "You know what, God, we need you." But I wonder if that is something that how we can put God first. It's just stopping and together praying and allowing God to be first in that situation. Maybe during your financial hardships, we just stop and pray. Allow Him to take over. So I wonder what it would look like for you to carve out time today to spend time with God. Search for opportunities to put God first in areas of your life because He is the one that gives us strength. He is the one that gives us peace through it all. And I know if we take that opportunity to put God first in areas of our lives, it will create ripples of influence to the people around us, the people that are watching us. Which brings me to my second perspective, which is the perspective of the prisoners, which we see the influence of Paul and Silas putting God first in their issue, in their situation. So if we look at verse 25 to 26, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose." Can you kind of see the influence of putting God first in that text? The prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas, and shortly after experiencing the power of putting God first, where we see the violent earthquake that shook the foundations and all the prison doors flying over and every chain falling off, So let's pause there just for a second. Think of who is watching you. Who is watching you during those times of the opportunities of putting God first? Who is watching you during the times of stress, during times of worries? Who has the Coldplay kiss cam on you? Who has it? not me. Hey, but honestly, it's crazy. Hey, it's crazy. Who is watching you? There are people watching you during those times of good, during those times of bad. Who is watching you? I got a story. My great granddad. Great-granddad Greaves, I call him. He used to live in New Zealand, and he came over to Perth to bring the movement of the AOG movement, the Assemblies of God movement. And my pop, I call him, came with him, and he firsthand experienced my great-granddad just serving God, putting God first in everything he do. And because of that, my pop. Became Christian, accepted the Lord, which is awesome. And he, if you know my granddad, he was a very wealthy guy. He was a very smart, wise guy, whether to do with business or real estate or just church network in general. He just knew it, and he brought this authority to the plate when he met people. And my dad got to see this firsthand as well. And just seeing my pop put God first in everything that he did, helped my dad to realize, man, there is a God that loves people. There is a God that cares. And so that actually gave the opportunity for my pop to lead my dad to Christ, and which was awesome because I got to see my dad firsthand live life in the church, be in ministry, be a pastor to young people as a youth pastor, but also be a senior pastor right now at a local church. And because of that, because I got to see firsthand my dad live a life putting God first before his needs, before his family, before his marriage, I got to see God in that, and I got to meet God as well. And so because I got to see the opportunity that my great-granddad chose to put God first, I got the influence of having God in my life. And so who is watching you? Who is watching you? Our choices speak louder than our words. Through our relationships, our choices in our relationships, not giving in to temptation, may be influencing and putting God first. Through our choices in money, being generous with our money is showing God. Our priorities, actually committing to coming to church, committing to a CG, committing to actually be together and not be isolated. It speaks volumes. Modeling forgiveness to our kids, to our friends, to our family, modeling prayer before every major choice we ever make. God can use you if you just put him first. So now we've looked at the two perspectives that show us the opportunity and the influence that God, by putting God first. So now I want to take us to our third perspective that allows us to see the fruits of Paul and Silas putting God first. The perspective of the jailer. So come with me to verse 27 to 34. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to the others in his household. At that hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his household. Paul and Silas could have ran out and let the jailer kind of kill himself, right? I would do that. If the jail cells are open, chains are gone, I'm running, you know? I'm getting out of that issue. But because their presence, they stayed and they were present in that environment. And they were present to the jailer. God used them to reach the jailer and his household. Who is the one that God is calling you to stay with? Who is the one that maybe was too hard so you gave up, but God is calling you to come back and telling you to just stay and just be present? One act led to one saved, then led to many saved. So let me tell you a story. There's a guy, there's a Scottish Baptist pastor that sadly passed away. His name was John Harper. He passed away in the RMS Titanic sinking. Anyone know this guy? I just found out, really amazing story. But this is his story from a perspective of a man, all right, that was on the ship. When the Titanic struck the iceberg, John Harper prioritized saving others, ensuring his daughter was placed in a lifeboat and then proceeded to witness to those around him as the ship sank. He gave away his life jacket and continued to preach the gospel until the very end, even to a man who initially rejected his message. The man who survived, clinging to a spare, later recounted how Harper's persistent witness led him to the faith in Christ. John Harper took an opportunity that was given to him to put God first, to put others first. And because of that, the fruit was the man that was saved. So I wonder, church, who is your jailer in your life at the moment? Who is the one during that their chaos you're going to say, I'm still here, I'm with you? Who is the one that you're believing for them to come to Christ? Maybe it's time for us to carve out some time in our weeks to catch up with someone, to have coffee or a meal, and to actually show love, to actually let them know that there is someone that loves them, that cares for them, and his name is Jesus. Who is your one? Who is your one? So let's take the opportunities to put God first this week in everything we do. Take them because you don't know who's watching, and you don't know how God wants you to use you to meet someone. So let's pray. We'll get into it. Father, we thank you. We love you so much, Father. Will you be with us, Father, in times of trouble? Will we be reminded to put you first, Father? It is hard. Culture tells us not to, Father. But as we do, as it says in the text, as we do, Father, you come through. You are our strength, Father. You are our provider, Father. And so we ask that, times that we need you, Father, we put you first. And Father, those people that are in our minds, Father, that we know that just need you, Father, that are going through a hard time, Father, will you use us to be present in their situation? Will you use us, Father, to share light in the darkness, Father? In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, why don't we stand up? We're going to go in a time of prayer and worship as well. And I want to give you an opportunity to maybe put God first in situations that you might be going through. And maybe life is good. Life is good because sometimes life is great and you're on an up. And sometimes we forget to put God first during those times as well. And so I want to open this space just to get some prayer. Get some prayer because, man, life by yourself is hard. But life together is easier. You know, and so we want to pray for you. And if you want prayer for anything else, whether you are struggling in general, just prayer for help, prayer for just friendships and everything. Come at the front. I'm going to be here. The YA director Cass is going to be here. The pastors are going to be out here, and we just want to pray for you. We honestly want to pray for you. And so we'll sing and we'll be waiting for you. Thanks, Jordan.